Bless her. Good morning, church. Good to be with everybody this morning. Well, it's a good place to be this morning, is it not? It's a good place to be this morning. It goes right along with my sermon this morning, and I've named my sermon this morning. And I tell you all this because sometimes I know you probably think, what in the world? I never read the Sunday school lesson before I come up here. And I told Tink, and I showed her, I said, because you guys were talking about this, and I kind of talked about David being anointed with oil. And I said, name my scripture this morning, the sermon is, the anointing makes the difference. The anointing is what makes the difference. And I want everybody to understand that this morning because, you know what? I can do nothing without the anointing. You can do nothing without the anointing here this morning. And I praise him for that this morning. I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture here first thing this morning. I'm going to start out over in Exodus, the 30th chapter. I'm going to read starting with the 22nd verse, then I'll get to my main point. I'll have you stand here in a minute, but I want to read this first. Exodus verse 22, or 30, chapter 30, verse 22. Say amen when you get there. Sometimes I get in too big a hurry, so. All right. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels of sweet conum, 250 shekels, and of kinesis, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. Now, if you see hin there, that means 6 quarts of oil. 6 quarts of oil. And remember that. And it says, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apoctosy, and it shall be as a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all the vessels, and the candlesticks, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, all the vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be the most holy. Whosoever touches them shall be holy. And then thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now remember that. Throughout your generation. This is the holy anointing oil. And upon men's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall it be made any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Now, that's pretty interesting, right, in itself? Now, if you would, turn to Isaiah, the 10th chapter. And when you get there, and you get to the 27th verse, let's stand and read God's word this morning. I'm going to get my main text from this morning. Isaiah 10:27, please. Isaiah 10:27. Man, it should make you want to shout. And it shall come to pass that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of why? Because of the anointing. It didn't say that the yoke was going to be broken in two. It said that it would be destroyed because of the anointing. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. I want to praise you, Father, for Father, you are so good to us this morning. We thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace, for all that you give us. And Jesus, we just ask it in your holy and precious name this morning, that Lord, that the anointing, Father, that it would be here upon my lips this morning, that it be amongst the congregation this morning. And Father, we will give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. want you to mark that in your Bible, because of the anointing. We live in an age of substitutes this morning. We live in an age where things are substituted. They like to substitute it. Sugar substituted with Splenda and Sweet and Low. Or hamburgers, if you go to Burger King, it's substituted with the Impossible Whopper. Instead of verbal language, brothers and sisters, listen, we have memes, we have social media, we have text. And the verbal language is something that's pretty much gone. We have substitutes for just a lot of different things. And many others I don't have time to go into. We have a lot of substitutes. Needless to say, we live in a world of substitutions. And more importantly to us this morning is, we need to understand this. We are living in an hour, and a substitute in the body of Christ is ever prevalent today. It really is. What is happening, some folks think that they can substitute the anointing of the Holy Spirit for any other things. Can I tell you this morning, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of our life, it cannot be substituted. It cannot be faked. It cannot be you have to have the anointing in your life. But there is nothing that will do the job like the anointing can do. Listen, how many of you know there's a difference between having a church service and having an anointed church service? Can I have an amen? How many of you know that there's a difference in singing a song and having a song sung under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? How many of you know that there is a difference between testimonies and having an anointed testimony? Praise God. And how many of you know there's a difference between the preaching and the anointing of the preaching upon an individual? I'm telling you, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, listen, the anointing is what makes the difference. I heard you talking about here this morning as we were teaching. We're talking about different things and how the world, how the church is doing this and the church is doing that. Listen to me this morning. With the anointing, it makes a difference in how the church acts. With the anointing, it makes a difference with how the members of that church act. Just plain and simple. How many of you know that? There's a difference between all those things and the anointing. The anointing makes a difference. It makes a difference. What makes the anointing so powerful is not because we of our physicality or how good we speak or how we look. What makes the anointing so special is it is the Spirit of God that works through us. And we could be a blabbering idiot up here as long as the anointing is on it. I'm telling you, it says His Word will not go back to Him void because of the anointing. It will not. For those things may be important, but brothers and sisters, the anointing separates us. It separates us and helps us to understand what's needed in our lives. It is what will make all the attributes that we have, it'll make them more powerful. Am I right? You think about teaching. You think about preaching. You think about singing. All the things that we do. Listen, the anointing makes all of those more powerful. It really does. The anointing is what prepares us to face battles in our lives. We've talked about it. The prophet Joel said that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon His people. In the last days, He'll pour out His Spirit. Why? Larry, we're facing battles. And brother, we need the anointing more today than we ever have needed it in our lives. Because we are facing battles that, listen, we cannot face those battles on our own. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help us to face those battles in our lives. In Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, what's it say? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, shall lift up a standard against the enemy, against him. I'm telling you here this morning, without the anointing, I'm telling you, we're going to battle by ourselves. Without the Spirit, without the anointing, we're going to battle by ourselves. And I'm telling you, I don't want to go to battle by myself. I want my brothers and sisters that are anointed to go to battle with me, and I want to go with the Spirit of God in my life. It's not just a touch. It's just not something that momentarily will bless you. The Spirit can saturate your life. The anointing can saturate your life. God wants us to be drenched in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When they anointed someone in the Old Testament, I read to you how much they made. Do you know? They said they would pour it all over them. They would pour 6 quarts of oil with that all over that individual. It would be dripping from their beard. It would saturate their clothes. It would go down to their sandals. That's the anointing saturated them. Can I tell you something this morning? You've heard it said here today. I want to be saturated with the Spirit of God in my life. If I'm going to go out to battle, Jeremy, I want the Spirit all over me. I want it all over me. I want whatever it takes to make sure that we can get through and do what He wants us to do. But listen, they would anoint them with the oil where they'd be so saturated. It says, and in this oil there would be different types of fragrances that were, you know what? And I read them off to you a little bit ago. And it would smell so good when they did that. And they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that person had the anointing on them. How many of you know here this morning you can tell when somebody has anointing on them? Amen. How many? Over in 1 John 2:20, it tells us this. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You know what unction means? It means you have an anointing. You have an anointing of the Holy One. It lets you know all things. And listen, one translation says it this way. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. If you're anointed here this morning, you can raise your hand this morning. You've been set apart. Amen. You've been set apart to do the job that God has for you to do. And if He has set you apart to do that job, if you're anointed to do that job, can I tell you something this morning? He will make a way for you to do that job, won't He, Patty? He'll make a way for you to do that job. And I'm telling you, you won't have to wonder. You won't have to worry. I still get nervous when I get up here to preach. And anybody that gets up here to preach and is not nervous, I'm telling you that I don't know about you, because I'm telling you, I still get nervous when I get up here to preach, because I understand the anointing has to be there. It has to be there. And the text is getting it at us is we must be drenched and we must be saturated with the anointing of God. We don't need mercy drops. We don't need mercy drops, but a manifestation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our lives for the anointing. When you have the Spirit, people will know. Turn to Romans 8:16, and when you get there, stay there for a little bit, because I'm going to come back to that Romans 8 here in just a little bit, chapter 8. It says this. When you get there, Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Christians, the Bible, I'm telling you, the Bible tells me that other Christians will know that you're a Christian because of the anointing that's upon your life. And I'll take it one step farther. Those that are lost will know that you're a Christian as well because of the anointing. They should know by the anointing that's on your life. Because there are going to be times they don't want anything to do with you. There's going to be times that they're going to think that you're crazy. There are going to be times that there's going to be times that maybe they want to talk to you about it. There's going to be all this stuff involved. But can I tell you something? When the anointing of God is on your life, people will know where you stand. Can I have an amen? Amen. You're going to know where you stand when the anointing of God is on your life. You don't have to puff out your chest. You don't have to stand up and beat a drum. All you got to do is let the anointing do what it needs to do in your life, and people's going to know where you stand with the Lord. They're going to know it. And listen, but all people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, they're going to know where you stand within the Spirit of God. They'll know it. Listen, and that the anointing abides, you know this, the anointing abides in every born-again believer. You understand that here this morning, right? And only Christians can receive the anointing. And they're the only ones. I read to you over in Exodus 31 through 33. And it says this, and any upon a stranger, you know, when whosoever putteth any upon a stranger, they shall be cut off. The anointing's not going to be put on a stranger. Who is a stranger to us? That is someone that does not know Jesus as their Savior. It does not. Listen, and it's not just for Christian leadership. I want you to understand that more than anything this morning. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for, I could go right on down the church leadership line. It's not for the elders. It's not for any of them. It's for all of us this morning. The anointing. The anointing is for every single one of us here this morning. And I praise God for that. You don't have to be some bigwig to have the anointing of God upon your life. You don't have to. If you're lost here this morning, the anointing is what can break the chains that are holding you back here this morning. Look at the scripture text from Isaiah. And it shall be come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders. Listen to me. Whenever I was lost, I'm telling you, I had a burden upon me. I was weighed down with sin. And I knew that I needed something more than what I had. And that burden and that was laid upon me, and it was driving me down. But praise God, whenever I got up out of there off my knees that night in Mannington, West Virginia, he just didn't break that up. He destroyed it. Praise God. I am thankful standing before you here today, knowing that the burdens of sin have been taken from my life, and I no longer feel that guilt. I no longer felt like I wasn't deserving, because whenever He saved me from that moment now, I knew that I was a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven, and God was living in my heart, and the Holy Spirit was there, and I had the anointing. When you get saved, you're not saved part way. I want to say this. When you get saved, you're not saved part way. You're saved all the way. He saved me to the uttermost. How about you this morning? You may be here this morning in a stale condition. Stale is not what God wants for you this morning. I'm Christian. He doesn't want you to be stale here this morning. He doesn't want you to be stagnant. Can I ask you something this morning? Dalton, what's stagnant water like? It smells, doesn't it? It smells. Whenever God put the anointing upon us, didn't it say that the anointing oil had a sweet savor about, had a sweet fragrance about it? And you know, my Bible tells me, let me read this scripture. I got it written down here. I want to read this to you. In Psalms 92:10, it says this: I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I grow stagnant. I grow stale sometimes, and guess what I need to do? I need to go get fresh oils. I need to go get freshly anointed once in a while, right? I need to go have that in my life once in a while. We all need to do that. There are times, listen, we say this altar is always open. And every time you come up here doesn't mean that you're lost. Every time you come up here doesn't mean you're backslidden. Every time you come up here, you may want to come up here because you're a little stale here this morning. It may be that you're a little stagnant this morning. And brother, you need to get that stench off of you this morning. And you need to get anointed with fresh oil this morning. The anointing will make a difference. The anointing will make a difference in your life this morning. Ecclesiastic tells me this. It says, dead flies give perfume a bad smell. That's what it says over in Ecclesiastes 10:1. I'm just paraphrasing. But that's what happened. Listen, there are times we get so stagnant, Belinda, we get so stale, we start drawing flies in. And it happens to churchgoers. I hope you understand I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. We start letting this stuff come into our lives. Praise God, we need to get fresh oil in there. We need to get the flies off of us. We need to get all the stench off of us. And praise His name this morning. The anointing can be fresh in your life here this morning. It can be afresh. You listen, maybe you're just coming to church. It's just another Sunday. You know, just another sermon, just another teaching, just another this, just another that. Listen, I'll be honest with you. There's times that even I would even think that sometimes. Maybe you don't ever think it, but I've thought that sometimes. I'm just up here checking a box sometimes. Man, I went to church today. I got, you know how you go on your refrigerator, you got a list sometimes, or maybe you got it on your phone where you just check the box. Hey, listen, I did this, 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 and this. Listen. Church should not to be that way with us. It should not to be that way with us. Not after what Jesus has done for us. Not after what He's done, all that He's done for us. We should, the anointing should be upon our lives to where we're saying, God, you know, I am thankful for the opportunity. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. I'm thankful for the teaching. You don't have to be thankful for the preaching, but be thankful for the singing. Be thankful for all the things that God lays out there for us. You need to be anointed with fresh oil. And when the anointing happens, there's a fresh new aroma. A fresh new aroma around. Luke 6, 7, 37 and 38 says this. When the woman broke open the alabaster box of ointment, what did she do? She washed Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair. And then she took that ointment and she put it on him. And she anointed him. And the fragrance of it went everywhere. Can I tell you something? You could be anointed here this morning. Lord, I hope and pray that you are. I hope and pray that the Spirit just is all over you this morning. But can I tell you something? You don't hang it up on the old doorknob as you go on a hook out here as you go out the door. You don't put it out here in the foyer because the anointing, that smell needs to go home with you. It needs to go to Walmart with you. It needs to go to work with you. It needs to be, that anointing needs to be wherever you're at. That anointing can be with you. I know they used to say to 14th Avenue all the time. You remember this, honey. You can't take your salvation and hang it on a hook out here like a coat and go out the door and leave it till the next time you come in. That's not the way it works. Brother said, we need to take the anointing with us wherever we go, wherever they want. And listen, can you imagine being saturated with oil? Saturated. And walk it, slush, slush, slush. That was the anointing. People knew. They walked by. Patty, you walk by somebody's house. There goes Patty. Slush, slush, slush. There goes Alita. Slush, slush. Why? Because you know what? They were soaked and saturated in oil. The Spirit, these people were. And they took it home. And the fragrance was there and it followed them. The fragrance of the anointing will follow you. Of course, you know I'm not talking about physically, right? You know that. I'm talking about spiritually this morning. That's what I'm talking about. The anointing of God can take and do that for us. Wherever they went, the smell went with them. Psalms 45:8 says this. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and canesus out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. They were anointed, and all their garments smelt like that. Brothers, sisters, you see what they're trying to get across? It's not just physical clothes. Everything about us should ooze with Jesus. Amen. Should ooze with the Holy Spirit. Should ooze with the anointing. Because that's what breaks the bonds. That's what makes us be able to witness and be better Christians than what we need, than what we think we are. We can be better Christians because of the anointing. We can go out into a lost and dying world because of the anointing. I have nothing to be ashamed of this morning. I serve a true and a living God this morning. You have not a thing to be ashamed of this morning if you're a born-again Christian. Not a thing. Not a thing. Listen, I'll tell you this, and I don't say this, I say this with all the humbleness of my heart. Listen, we are right. We are right. We live by the word, just like it said. It's in your book, as Norman used to say. I've heard him say that. It's in your book if you read the right book. It's in your book. We are on the winning side. We win. And praise his name for that this morning. All the garments. All the garments. And you shouldn't go... Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this morning, they will know that you are a Christian. You see, the anointing can do other things what other things cannot do. The anointed singing, the anointed preaching, the anointed teaching, all those things, whenever they're done with the anointing of God upon their lives, listen, there could be people sitting in here this morning that need Jesus. And the anointing could be back in the Spirit of God, could be talking to them. Anybody see... Calvin Evans this morning. I know you said that story. He's told that story before. This is. I don't know if you've ever heard this story before. This is a true story. Back in 1958, whenever Calvin Evans' dad was preaching, I guess he hadn't been preaching very long. He went to a church to preach a revival, and whenever he was preaching that revival, there was a man that it was there, and Calvin Evans' dad knew that he could just tell. He said he was lost. So after church, he went out on the steps and he talked to him. And he talked to him. And he said to that guy, he talked to him about coming to the Lord and this. And he said the guy never did it. But that guy come back to a revival service, I think, I don't know how many years later, and heard Calvin, the younger Calvin, preach. Same thing. Was in the church, listened to Calvin. Calvin just knew it. Calvin Ray just knew it. He talked to him out on the steps. Almost the exact same place that his dad had talked to him. And this is what he told him. This is sad. He said back in 1958, whenever Calvin's dad got done talking to him, he said he turned up and he looked up to God and he said, God, never deal with me again. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be talked to. I don't want to be nothing. And God had never, ever dealt with that man for all those years. Come back to church, and he's terminally ill with cancer. And he was hoping he could come back to church and the Spirit of God would deal with him again. The Spirit of God never dealt with him again. He said he died a few months later. He said he never did come to know the Lord. True story. I'm here to tell you this morning, God only has to deal with you one time. He only has to deal with you one time. I mean, you take that for what it's worth. It doesn't say in the Bible that he has to do any more than once. You may be here this morning, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you, if he is dealing with you this morning, come to this altar this morning. Belinda, come get a song. Come to the altar this morning. Come and let Jesus Christ into your heart. Let the anointing come upon your life. Let that flow through you and understand what I'm preaching about here this morning. Belinda?